So stop me if you've never heard this before. The Bible is just a bunch of rules that stops you from having any fun. Does that sound familiar? Has anybody ever heard, have someone say to you or maybe said to yourself that God is nothing but a cosmic killjoy? Right? Does that sound familiar there? Much of history in the Christian church, sadly, and I am not a historian, so I'm going to be wildly, mostly inaccurate with broad sweeping generalizations. In my history of church at present moment, bear with me, worked from the idea, the Christian church, that the body was a bad thing because it's what ties us to this sinful world that we live in, and it is our spirit that we need to nurture because that is what gets us to God. And so the church, from that aesthetic sort of thing, says anything that brings the body, that brings the self, that brings the person pleasure or joy or whatever sort of thing, must be bad. And that's where you get all these pictures. Mom's got one up in her house, and in the rooms where they're in a picture, and these people look like they're about to chew the camera lens out, or the photographer out there. Very severe and stern with beard and no mustache, and it's scary, actually. But there is no allowance for enjoyment of life in much of the church history. And some took that to extremes, to actually beating their body, because they felt that the more their body suffered, the more spiritual they would then be. But that's not exactly right. But the mantra of the church becomes something along the lines of this: if it tastes good, it will probably give you cancer. If it feels good, it must be immoral. If it's fun, then it's probably dangerous. If it smells enticing, it is likely seductive. If it sounds pleasant, it is probably superficial. If it is pleasurable, it must not be biblical. And so, down through the ages and through the generations, this kind of gets taught in churches, right? Sometimes intentionally, and sometimes unintentionally. Oh, you can't do that because you're in church, and when we can't let you do these things, or you can't read this, watch this, do this, hang out with these people, you know, any of these sorts of things, because, well, it's not very Christian of you. Where Scripture doesn't tell us that many of those things are bad at all. As Scripture tells us that we were built, we were made, now try and wrap our heads around this, we were built to enjoy life. How many of you are fully 100% enjoying life? I'm putting my hand down. Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think, oh, I should, gotta be careful. But at the same point in time, we need to be careful that our pursuit of pleasure, this running from the severe understanding that everything to do with the body is bad, running towards, you know, if it feels good, do it, life of just seizing the moment with all the gusto we can, doesn't run me too far out of the realm of God's desire and plan for what He has made and built me to be. The lie that Satan gives us, and this is where we're going to look from things, the lie that Satan gives us is that everything that you think is fun or is intended to give you good feelings of pleasure must be from Satan, because you can't feel good in physical space and in the spiritual space as well. And the lie that Satan feeds us is you can't have one with, you can't have, it's gotta be one or the other. And so life is short, eat dessert first. And we run towards that because we don't want to be in a bad place, but we run the wrong way with it. We don't look for what God has intended pleasure for us to be. We look for what we think that looks like. The teacher in Ecclesiastes has a few things to say on this topic of chasing after, seeking after pleasure. Now, I want a reminder, I mentioned before that the teacher is looking at things from the worldly perspective. He's looking at things under the sun. That is what he observes, what he sees in the world around him, what he observes happening with people, with himself, all these sorts of things. He's compiled together and said, this is what I have learned from life under the sun. And that second voice that I've told you is in Ecclesiastes that starts the book and ends the book is this other wise man sitting in the lecture, as it were, with his son, saying, listen to what the teacher has to say, for the teacher is wise. And he has many good things to say, but you need perspective, son. The perspective that the second voice gives is that he's looking at it from above the sun. He's looking from a God perspective. And he says that the information the teacher is giving needs to be informed by our understanding of the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Put God first in our perspective and then balance what's happening. But let's take a look at some of these, this a little bit closer. There are several contradictions, or seemingly contradictions in Ecclesiastes when it comes to this idea, this topic of chasing after pleasure. And on one hand, and we'll run through some of these, there's loads in here. On one hand, the teacher seems to fully embrace the idea of get as much enjoyment out of life as you possibly can. We're going to read a series of verses, 1, 2, 3, like 5 different passages here that are the carpe diem passages of Ecclesiastes. See if you can hear, seize the day, running through these passages. Chapter 2, verses 24, 26, it says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. Are you hearing the theme running through that? That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. Chapter 8, verse 15. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life God has given him under the sun. And then chapter 9, verse 7. Go eat your food with gladness. Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Do you follow this theme? Basically, through all of this, he's saying, go, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy the life that you have, because that is what you got. That's the end. Enjoy it. Feel good about what's going on. Embrace the fact that pleasure exists, and we were built for it. And if you read through lots of the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms that come through, there's lots of pleasure words. Read Song of Songs. I dare you to go through. And when you're reading Song of Songs, I dare you to not read anything that has to do with pleasure. You won't read much of the song. We're built for that idea. And when we feel good, the teacher is saying, or is hinting at, then everything, work, family, life, everything will go so much better. So take pleasure where you can and when you can. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Certainly doesn't sound like God is a cosmic killjoy. Certainly doesn't sound like you can't smile, or you can't have fun, or you can't do any of these sorts of things. But yet, the problem is that there's a contradiction, a paradox that comes in. The problem is that for most people, and I want us to hear this, this is where we kind of move a little bit, and this is where I am struggling even today. I am struggling with this concept, and I will tell you about that in just a moment. The problem is that for most people, seeking pleasure, trying to feel good, isn't about understanding that we are created for joy in life. It is for escaping the troubles and stresses that life brings us. Did you catch that? We look for pleasure, not to enjoy God, but to run from the life that we have. Life is hard. Work is hard. Family is hard. We get tired. We get worn out. We just want to get away from it for a little while. We want to feel good instead of feeling overwhelmed. And so we look for the escapes. Now I'm going to insult probably everyone who reads, and I, you know, apologize for this minute, but we look for escapes in food. For some of it's eating. I had a rough day, and so what am I doing? I go home and I eat that bowl of ice cream, and by that bowl I mean that tub, and by that tub I mean I need to go get some more. I go home and I drink. Maybe it's not just half a glass of wine, or maybe it's a whole glass of wine, and maybe suddenly the bottle's gone. Maybe there's, you know, whatever it is, because I just need to unwind a little bit from life. Or some people it's drugs, some people it's a promiscuous lifestyle. The feel-good moments of life, activities of life. For other people, it's getting lost in a good book. Now, on a side, reading is good. Read. This is good. Reading to escape what your life is isn't as good. Tremper Longman, in his book, in their book Bold Purposes, which is what I'm reading with this, tells a story when he moved as a small boy. He didn't have any friends, and he would go up into his room and he would read Tom Swift is the author, I believe it was. All day. And his mom would try to get him to go out and play with people, but he didn't know anybody, and he was bullied a little bit, and he was afraid, and he wanted to escape that world, and he found his escape in the writing of Tom Swift. And so he would go outside, sneak around back, come back into his room and read all day. And the reading wasn't bad, but the reason for it was bad. The reason for it was bad. He sought pleasure in the books to avoid life that was happening around him. Sometimes we do it by binge-watching a TV show on Netflix. I am guilty of the binge-watching TV shows on Netflix. I want to avoid it. I want to get away. Get away from what's stressing me out. Get away from the worries that I have. I just want quiet peace by myself. And even people this morning, I was thinking, man, I need to just get away. I need to sit down and watch this movie so I can not just sit and watch the movie and enjoy it, but so I can escape the pressures, the stresses, the worries, the responsibilities, the things that are coming next week at work, the things that are coming down the road, what's happening in the summer, all of these things. I want to watch a movie marathon and get away from it. The problem is, at the end of the movie marathon, while I've enjoyed it, it's still there. I haven't actually done anything about it. And the pleasure that I received and I got from it is fleeting. It's not satisfying. And so, much like then a drug high comes in, the next time I need to escape, I need to do something even more so that I can reach that same high, because I fall back down lower. And this is where the problem lies that comes into it. We get jolted back into reality and nothing has changed. And we feel sometimes even more disconnected because we experience the false pleasure of escapism for the brief time. And so these escapes, whatever they are, become an idol for us. We turn to them instead of turning to God. And we chase after pleasure in our minds, in our understanding of that, rather than chasing after the pleasure that God has built us to do. The Garden of Eden was the ultimate in pleasure destinations. So how can looking for ways to enjoy ourselves be considered a bad thing? It isn't, as I said, unless it replaces the focus that we should be having on God. Now, what's the contradiction? Okay, Ryan, this is good, but where's the contradiction? Let's look at the passage in chapter 7 that I read just a few moments ago. It wasn't a very pleasure passage, was it? The contradiction is that the teacher, in talking about life is short, go do, enjoy yourself, he then turns around and says, you know what the wise people do? The wise people think about death. The wise people go to the morgue. They go to the things. They don't think about life. They think about death. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. But wasn't he just talking about seizing the day? Wasn't he just talking about eat, drink, be merry, get out of life all the enjoyment you can? And you see, the teacher is recognizing here that it doesn't matter what you do in life, it will always lead to death. So yeah, enjoy it. But we have, in our understanding of Scripture, and the second voice looks at this and he says, this is what the teacher is saying, this son, there's wisdom there, but you need to look at it from God's perspective, from above the sun, from a heavenly view. Say, if when you fear God, there is something better than life is short and then you die. There is something more that we look forward to. It is not just meaningless. It is meaningless under the sun in our world of context without God, but there is meaning with God, and that's where we find some joy in suffering. And that is why where we find hope outside of this doomed life of escapism. Wouldn't it be great if in every moment of our lives, where we suffer, where we struggle, where we're stressed, where we're worried, wouldn't it be great in every one of these moments that we instantly felt joy? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many of you, when you're really struggling, when life is really hard, you think, man, I'm really happy about this. I'm really enjoying this. Nobody does that. No one does this. We don't look for joy, but joy can be found in those moments because the Bible tells us that when we experience struggles and difficulties, we can get a future look and glimpse of what God is doing for us. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that the Christian life will be one of ease and pleasure, but we do have something to look forward to. We have a future hope to look forward to, and that is what the teacher is missing. That is what he forgets in his under the sun looking. He doesn't see the hope. He doesn't see the future. He doesn't see that God came to this earth to show us what it looks like to suffering, to point us to a time and a moment where we will not have suffering, where there will be joy, where there will be presence with God. The suffering that we have in this world is not the end of the story. Our struggles in life are only temporary when compared to the eternal joy of being reunited with Jesus in eternity. And that outlook, if we can have that outlook, changes our perspective on pleasure. No longer do we need to look for that movie or that book or that food or that whatever it is to escape from the life that God has given to us. No longer do we need that excuse. We can say, God, thank you for what you are doing in me. Point me to where you are leading me, which is eternity with you, and then look for life to be enjoyed. Not for your own self of escape, but for the joy that God has built in you to enjoy his life. Gives us a glimpse of what the Garden of Eden was like before the fall, and a glimpse of what heaven will be like when we get there, what it will be like with him in heaven. We can embrace then the difficulties in life because we know they are only temporary. And the teacher had that right. Life is short. It is only temporary. The worst possible thing that can happen to you, and I do not take those lightly. I do not take it lightly when I say the worst possible thing that can happen to you is only temporary and is a blip in the context of eternity. And if we can get that perspective, then we are not defeated by it. We're able to find joy in it. And then we're able to enjoy the pleasures that God has created us for, not for our own selfish gain, but to reveal more of who God is in us and his love for us. I want to conclude this this message here, just this final thought from Tremper Longman and Dan Allender in their book. They say here, pleasure is at the heart of God. So enjoy a savory meal, not just in itself, but as a gift from God. Be carried away by powerful music as an anticipation of the music of heaven. Be enticed by the smell of the sea, the scent of a flower. Be seduced by the caresses and kisses of your spouse. Enjoy these moments of bliss as God's gift that opens a brief glimpse of the utter ecstasy to come when we live in God's glorious presence. We were built for pleasure to point us to God, not built to run to pleasure to avoid the life that He has given us. Let's pray together.